Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven, says the Lord. Whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. I think most of us remember that this whole chapter from John 6 is crucial for us Catholics, certainly in Scripture, in understanding the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Of course, there's much more to be said in Scripture, but any Catholic who's talking to someone who wonders about why we believe what we do about the Eucharist, certainly in Scripture, they'd want to go to John 6. Now, this Sunday, we celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. In essence, we celebrate the gift of the Eucharist, which Jesus has given us. The Eucharist, which you and I are called daily to bear and to proclaim to the whole world, which is why at both of our parishes after the last Sunday Mass, here it'll be probably a little bit after 11 o'clock, we'll be having traditional Corpus Christi processions proclaiming Jesus' sacrifice to the whole world. If you're interested in the procession at Menominee, that'll begin probably around 10 o'clock this morning after the 9 o'clock Mass. The Eucharist has many dimensions, and I was just thinking, if you consider everything that's been written about the Eucharist over the course of nearly 2,000 years, everything that's written, I'm sure, could never fit into this building. So there's much to be said. We Catholics believe it is a sacrament of faith, of life, a sacrament of unity, a sacrament of worship at the very heart of our lives as Catholics. And so I'd like to try talking about Eucharist, just looking at these four dimensions, if you will, of Eucharist. The Eucharist is a sacrament of faith. The consecrated host, of course, looks no different after the consecration than it did before the consecration. And only one of our five senses gets to the truth of the Eucharist in that sense. And that is that our ears hear the words, this is my body, this is my blood. And our faith then takes us beyond the veil of mere appearances. Understanding reality, of course, always has to do with looking beyond simple appearance. The same faith dynamic that enables us to see beyond the appearances in the Eucharistic mystery enables us to see, for example, beyond appearances in our neighbors, beyond appearances in people who maybe annoy us, in people who might be dying in a hospital bed, maybe beyond the appearances of of a criminal who's awaiting execution in a prison, perhaps to consider the negligible appearance of an unwanted, unborn child in the womb. We Catholics can say Christ is there as well. We can say in each of these cases, there is my brother, there is my sister, made in the image and likeness of God, equal in dignity to me, and just as worthy of respect and protection as anyone else. We know, for example, that even a small particle of the consecrated host contains the entire Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And just that notion of our understanding of the Eucharist is a powerful antidote, if you will, to the dangerous idea that value depends on size or appearance. The Eucharist is the sacrament of life. Jesus, we just heard, is the bread of life. The gospel today places the Eucharist in the context of giving and receiving life. Just as the Father who has sent me and I have life because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. That's what Jesus says. The Eucharistic sacrifice, the Mass, is the very action of Christ by which he destroyed our death and restored our life. Whenever or wherever we gather for Mass, we are celebrating the victory of life over death. And when we receive the Eucharist, we receive the life that never ends. The Eucharist is also a sacrament of unity. St. Paul tells us in the second reading, we, many though we are one body, since we all partake of the one loaf. Imagine, if you will, the people in every part of the world this Sunday morning who are receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, who are all receiving the one Christ. And through this awesome sacrament, Jesus Christ, who we know from Scripture is enthroned in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, nevertheless, he is drawing us to himself, and by drawing us to himself, he is drawing us closer and closer to one another. When we call one another brothers and sisters, we're reminding ourselves that, particularly by way of the Eucharist, we all share the common blood of Jesus Christ, which obliges us to be concerned for one another as brothers and sisters, just as we are concerned for ourselves. The Eucharist is the supreme act of worship of God. I think there are two crucial lessons that every person on the face of the earth needs to learn. One, there is a God, and two, that God is not me. Rather, I am a creature of God. The Eucharist, as the perfect sacrifice, acknowledges that God is God and that it is his right to receive the obedience of all creation. We creatures are definitely not God, although we are made in his image and likeness, and thanks to Jesus Christ, we are effectively brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of God our Father. We are definitely not God, though, and we should be very careful not to pretend we are God or unknowingly behave as though we are gods. This would be the opposite of true worship. Real freedom, of course, is found only in our submission to the truth that God is God, and therefore, for us to be eternally happy, including to be most happy on this earth, we want to follow his will. Real freedom is always doing what is right according to God's plan, according to God's statutes. Our brothers and sisters who choose to say no to God by abandoning worship of him on the Lord's Day, I think they're losing sight of the reality of God and who they themselves are, and even why God created them. The sacrament of love. The Eucharist is the sacrament of love. St. John explains, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And then Jesus himself teaches us this: greater love than this no one has than to lay down his life for his friends. As I mentioned last week in my homily, the best symbol of love is not really the heart, but rather it's the crucifix. A real Christian says about love, my life is about sacrifice. I sacrifice myself for the good of the other person. I sacrifice myself for my spouse, for my children, for my community, for my country. And we Catholics have always believed that we sacrifice ourselves for the common good. Our culture of death, on the other hand, says, I'll sacrifice the other person for my benefit, for myself, for my gain. I'll sacrifice somebody else for my pleasure. Have you ever noticed how, in this culture of death that we have in our country, even our politics have changed? And I've seen this in my own lifetime, growing up in the 1950s. Our politicians over time have succeeded in actually dividing us up one from another. And then they go about making endless promises to each little group that they have divided up. And it turns out, as we realize today, there's no chance of actually being able to keep those promises because the government is essentially bankrupt. And this process is also bankrupting us morally. Last December, I received in the mail my Medicare card. And as an example of what I'm talking about and how even the language of sacrifice has disappeared, if you think of almost any politician you can think of who's running for office, certainly for president, they will say to me, now a senior citizen, oh, don't worry, we would never think of touching any benefit anybody ever promised to you. The reality is that means that the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, guess what, they aren't going to get any of this because the politicians say, we won't even consider touching anything that has ever been promised to anyone who's a senior citizen or anyone who's about to be a senior citizen. Well, I must say, as one who's now been put into that category by the politicians, I actually resent that. I resent that they would imagine that I would have no interest whatsoever in sacrificing something for the survival of my country. Does anyone here, I think there are a number of people here who are old enough to remember the inauguration of President Kennedy 50 years ago. And that was only 17 years after the end, if I counted right, 16 years after the end of World War II, which called the whole country to great sacrifice for the common good. And President Kennedy was able to say in his inaugural address, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for the country. And that's a very Catholic way of thinking, because as Catholics, our vocation for every one of us is self-sacrifice. And so it's normal for us to think of self-sacrifice for the common good. Our Catholic faith, the Eucharist, is the antidote to the swamp of self-serving greed, mindless entertainment, into America's culture of death. Take, for example, these words, this is my body. These four little words are spoken from opposite ends of the universe with totally opposite results. Jesus Christ gives his body away so that others may live. But many want to cling to their own bodies so that others will die. And Jesus says, this is my body given up for you. This is my blood shed for you. These are words of self-sacrifice. And self-sacrifice is the vocation God has given to each one of us. This is my body, my blood, my life given up for you. Everyone who follows Jesus Christ needs to repeat these same words. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, priests to congregation. And Jesus asked you and me actually to live these mysteries which we are celebrating in the Mass. Do this in memory of me applies to every one of us in the sense that we are each called to lovingly suffer with Jesus so that others may live. We are to be, you might say, like lightning rods in the midst of our disastrous culture of self-promotion, self-interest, greed, entertainment, violence, and death. When we receive the Eucharist, what can we say to Jesus in response? Yes, Lord, I am willing to absorb some of this greed and violence and to transform it by love into personal suffering so that others may live. The Eucharist is the energy, it's the power to do this, because the Eucharist is the life and love of Jesus Christ himself.